Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to all of you. Appreciate you tuning in. I know a lot of you probably just shutting it down for the week. Maybe today's your last day before a nice long weekend, a weekend that includes copious amounts of American football, including right here on Sports Radio 610. Tomorrow, the Texans and the Lions. Big thanks to Wade Smith in yesterday for Seth Payne, who is back metaphorically in the saddle today. Good morning.
Right. This is through the depths of COVID, though we've worked from home many times. I've never worked from bed before. And I got to tell you, I'm working from bed right now. And it's not bad, Sean. It's not bad at all. I've got my legs elevated. I've got my supportive undergarment on because I had my hernia surgery yesterday.
Yeah. I'm
trying to keep the swelling down. And we'll see how my voice holds up over 4 hours of doing this in kind of like an inverted position. But I feel pretty good. I feel like we're going to have a good show today with me working in whichever bed I was advertising for 4 years for the mattress firm.
Yeah.
That bed is finally really genuinely come in medical use. Like, sleeping in a hospital bed has been good for my snoring and everything,
right?
But now I'm using it like an actual hospital bed, and I couldn't be more excited. I feel like this is one of the greatest things I've ever done in my career.
Seth, just to bring people in a little bit, like, Seth is literally laying on his bed and on the Zoom. We have a Zoom going right now so we can still see each other.
It's messing with the Zoom.
Seth's face, his eyes are like peering over the. There you go, Seth. Now I can see your face. It was like you. It was like you were peering over a windowsill for a second there, or something like that. It was like,
Okay.
No, it's all good. It always helps.
Don't make me laugh, though. Don't make me laugh. That hurt a little bit.
Okay, we're going to be super serious today. So, but it was a little like what we've had to go through for the last several months. Like, it was like the rest of your face was masked. I could only see your eyes. That makes it. I've grown to realize how important it is to be able to see the rest of a person's face when they communicate with you. And it's not even reading lips. It's being able to see, like, what their emotions are and whatnot, you know?
Yeah.
So that helps. I can see you now.
I feel like I have 50% empathy for maybe a blind person when they're trying to have a conversation with somebody. They got to really be in tune with all the vocal inflection and everything. I've also learned to be more... I've tried to be more expressive with my eyes. Because I feel like because of my size... When I'm wearing a mask, I intimidate some people.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to smile with my eyes as much as possible, which I still can't tell if it works or if it makes me look kind of psychotic, which just scares people that much
this
more.
This may be a foray into acting for you, actually. You know, actors, you need to be really expressive. You need to be able to speak with your entire face, you know, with your body. I would hate to lose you as a co-host, but if it leads to you being a wealthy Hollywood star, that would be really, really good.
Yeah, we'll see. I've decided I will not leave for anything other than a leading man part. I'm not going to be one of these character actors, Sean.
Right.
Traipsing around from job to job. I'm not going to be your Danny Aiello.
Right. Clint Howard.
I'm working on these bedroom eyes. I'm going to use them for some love scenes.
There you go. All right, so Seth, while you were gone, we're glad you're doing well. So Seth, back in today. Couple things. The Texans are traveling today. They're traveling to Detroit. They'll face the Lions tomorrow. Of course, a game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610, 11:30 kickoff. Seth and I have Texans countdown starting at 8:30 tomorrow, I believe. Laremy Tunsil back in practice. That's good. The big thing yesterday, this is kind of like with the day before a game, it feels like sort of a soft football Friday a little bit. I know it's not a football Friday, but it feels that way. But the big thing that had everybody going yesterday was Ken Rosenthal floating around that the Astros were, quote, floating Carlos Correa in trade talks, which...
And I luckily missed all of this because I was in surgery. I kind of caught some glimpses here or there via Twitter. By the time I tried to catch up on this, Sean, where it sounds like everybody had spent the whole day discussing whether or not the Astros or how the Astros were going to try to trade Correa. Ken Rosenthal corrected himself and said that there was no trade talk.
Yeah. It feels like he got a call from somebody with the Astros saying, you may want to chill out on that. Here was the original report. And by the way, it wasn't a headline. This was buried in his notebooks column on like the fifth story down, which was the interest that there might be outside of the Yankees in DJ LeMahieu. And he says that the Dodgers and the Astros, he mentions the Dodgers and the Astros as two teams that could be interested in free agent infielder DJ LeMahieu, who I believe won the batting title this year, really good player for the Yankees. And he says, quote, or he said, quote, this was his first report, any Astros interest in LeMahieu would hinge on whether the team can trade Carlos Correa, enabling Alex Bregman to move to short and then opening up third base. The Astros, according to sources, are again floating Correa in trade discussions, knowing it's unlikely they'll sign him before he reaches free agency at the end of the season. So that is a report. I take that as a report that they are shopping Carlos Correa. They are floating, not they're fielding phone calls. They are floating him in trade discussions.
It's sure what it sounded like.
Fast forward to later in the day. In the exact same article, all of a sudden, that sentence about them floating him in trade talks is gone. It says, any interest in LeMahieu, meanwhile, would seemingly hinge on whether the team can trade Correa, enabling Bregman to move to short and opening up third base. And that sentence has been replaced about floating Correa with, Houston, however, is not engaged in any active trade conversations on Correa, according to a source with knowledge of the team's thinking. Right. So a complete 180.
Yeah, at the very end, they said, this story's been altered for the Correa information. Didn't explain why, but
no.
This is the thing where immediately, Sean, even as I was just kind of trying to make it through my day with this surgery yesterday, the thing that didn't make any sense to me at all with the initial report was, wait a second. They're going to trade Correa because they frankly can't afford both Correa and Springer, yet somehow bring in LeMahieu. I didn't get that part of it. I didn't get where somehow, if you trade Correa, it's not going to be to bring in another high-priced free agent.
Right.
If it were, I'd be kind of intrigued, but with my limited brain and mathematical abilities, it doesn't seem like that was even on the table from a luxury tax standpoint.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the market is for LeMahieu. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know he's a really good hitter, and I know he's a really versatile player. But my compass can be off on these things sometimes. My sense is that Correa is viewed as being one more big season away from getting like Bryce Harper kind of money. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if he has a 20, and I don't know that LeMahieu is viewed as a guy with that sort of ceiling. I'm sure he's not. Like, he's not the athlete that Correa is. Few walking the earth are. That's my sense, is that the Astros, they know they're going to lose Springer. That's a big salary out the door. They sense that Correa is probably going to hit free agency. And if he has a big 2021, there's no way they're going to be, well, not, I don't want to say no way, but it's unlikely they're going to play the price of poker for him. And I guess when you look at, you know, you look at a LeMahieu and you go, okay, well, maybe it could get a little dicey for a year. Verlander's going to be off the books in a year. Greinke's going to be off the books in a year. This team does get put in sort of an interesting spot as to what they're going to be able to do payroll-wise. I think the big thing with Correa, Seth, is if you make the right move, you could really replenish your farm system if you make the right move for Correa, you know?
Yeah.
So,
except that, I guess, whoever, yeah, could you, though? Because who's trading for him for just 1 year? Like, how much are they going to trade for him?
I think it would have to come with a contract extension with whoever he goes to. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think there's a lot of moving parts in a Correa deal. I'm just bummed out. Like, to me, the Astros are a big four, you know, in this era. It's Altuve, Bregman, Correa, and Springer. And now one of them looks for sure to be gone in Springer. And the other one is I believe he is being floated in trade talks, by the way. Like, I think,
or at
his
least
name's,
they're accepting calls.
Yes.
If they're not outright floating and they're accepting
not
calls.
Not doing their job if they're not doing that.
They'd be dumb not to.
Right.
I don't. The thing that really bothers me, Sean, aside from the emotional part of losing these core players, is just that long after all these guys are gone and Altuve is retired, we're still going to have to listen to bums from around the country pretend like all the current Astros and coaches and staff were part of the cheating scandal.
Indeed. Indeed. All right, so we're off and running on a Wednesday. The Texans play tomorrow. You missed Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker was really good yesterday, Seth. I actually want to revisit something he said about Deshaun Watson with you.
Sounds like he's less intimidated when I'm not there.
And get your take on it. What did he say? I got to think during the break. He said something about you. I can't remember what it was.
Took a shot at me?
He did take a shot at you.
I'm right back. I don't get my Twitter thumbs warmed up early in the morning.
He did take a shot. I got to go back and listen. it was about Deshaun Watson's touchdown run on Sunday where he trucked Devin McCourty. Does that touchdown run dispel the biggest narrative surrounding Deshaun's demeanor? We'll hear Ross Tucker yesterday if you missed it. We'll get Seth's take on it as well. Seth back in today. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610.
Watson looking, pumping, escaping up the middle. Deshaun going for the end zone, taking people with him across the goal line. Touchdown, Deshaun Watson, and the Texans take the lead.
Yeah, it just depends on the situation, honestly. I'm not going to do it every week, not with everyone. So you definitely got to pick my spots. But I just kind of reacted and just went for it. And, that's pretty much it right there.
That's Deshaun Watson talking about his touchdown run on Sunday against the Patriots in which he ran over Devin McCourty at the goal line.
Oh, poor Devin.
Yeah.
He dropped one in the hole on behind Devin McCourty on that drive, too, to Jeremy Akins.
He emasculated him, basically.
Just, he did. He basically – Devin McCourty had to pretend he was his brother this whole week. People were like, hey, are you Devin? No, I'm Jason.
I'm Jason.
Thank God for these masks. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to tell my identical twin brother, isn't he?
Right. Jason is people are walking around going, Jason is everywhere in the building this week. God, he's all over the place.
That's the worst, man, getting trucked like that in the film room. Oh, don't make me laugh, Sean.
So Ross Tucker was on with us yesterday for his weekly visit, and I thought he made a really good point. It was in response to a question Wade had about criticism of Deshaun's body language. You know, Deshaun during this season in which they're now 3-7, but at one point 1-6 and 2-7, that people are a little unhappy that Deshaun is so happy, that he reacts with such joy to certain things on the field when the team is losing. They want Deshaun to hurt as badly outwardly as they do about these games. I thought Ross Tucker made a really interesting point yesterday about Deshaun and his want to in a season that's gone down the tubes for the Texans.
You know, the season's obviously not going anywhere. The way he lowered his shoulder and trucked Devin McCourty, that tells me everything. I mean, I love that dude. He's playing for keeps. You want to talk about someone that you want to build a franchise around? He is worth every penny. That he's the type of individual that even when it's a lost season, he's going to put his shoulder down and barrel through to get that touchdown. Man, I mean, not that I needed any more evidence of it, but that was the latest evidence of just how fortunate Houston Texans fans are to have Deshaun Watson as their quarterback.
I was glad that point came from Ross Tucker, Seth, because I was glad it came from somebody from the outside because it's not somebody reacting defensively on behalf of Deshaun to the criticism. You know what I mean? It's just an in the vacuum, benign, unbiased observation about Deshaun's desire to go win football games.
This was the week where, because I'm the same as you, and I try to be on guard for whether our hometown bias is clouding our judgment. And I think we've been pretty fair about Deshaun. I think there is still, no matter what he does individually, I am old school in terms of just saying that a quarterback is measured by the offensive performance. Whether it's fair or whether it's not, that's what I want my quarterbacks to feel. However, setting aside all that, it's impossible to look at some of the things he's doing in the passing game and not be impressed. So this was the week where I think around the league, a lot of the smarter people in football really started saying, look, you can't ignore this any longer. Deshaun, regardless of win-loss record, regardless of how the run game is, he's doing some things phenomenally well as a quarterback, especially as a modern NFL quarterback with how he can balance. You know what it is, Sean? He had this week where people are watching Lamar Jackson and seeing how limited he is as a passer.
Yeah.
And they're realizing, wow, yeah, Deshaun is the truth. Deshaun is a genuine, as Bill Belichick said before this game in the pregame show, somebody asked him about, does it help preparing for Deshaun by playing Lamar Jackson the week before. And Belichick said, no, Deshaun is a complete quarterback.
It's accurate.
Kind of threw some, potentially threw some shade there at Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, if you think we're being homers, I encourage you to read elsewhere or listen elsewhere. People around the league are really taking notice of the way Deshaun Watson is playing football this year. If they can get surrounded by an actual running game and a defense on the other side of the ball, I think this team could be further ahead than a lot of people feel like it is right now. I think the step back to dignity really starts on the defensive side of the ball and having some kind of a competent running game.
Are you ready to hear the shot that Ross Tucker took at you yesterday? Are you okay
to
listen to
this? I'm ready. I'm good. I mean, Ross is taking shots at me while I was literally under anesthesia.
Right.
While I was literally out of commission.
There was literally a scalpel slicing your skin open, and he is saying this.
It must be nice for you to start a segment and say former Pro Bowler finally. You know what I mean? I mean, all of these years where you're like former D lineman, you know, former Cornell guy.
Original
to be able to say Pro Bowler, it's got to be a good feeling.
Okay, that was in response to me. Bringing Ross Tucker on, and I said, Ross. Ross Tucker joins us. Ross on with welcome back. It's me, Sean Pendergast, and former Pro Bowler Wade Smith. And
okay, then that was good.
I brought Ross on.
That was good. I mean, coming from a career backup, that was pretty good. Ross taking his shot when he can get it. I can't punch down on Ross, you know. Like, even though I was unconscious, I'm not going to punch down against Ross.
Did.
I'll let him have his moment.
You just did. That's funny.
Okay, that was good.
That was good. All right.
That's how he's really getting me. I'm not supposed to laugh or speak too loudly today.
Yeah.
He's going to send me back to a redo on this surgery.
People were telling me to tell a bunch of fart jokes today to try to make you laugh. A lot of well wishes for you on the text page as well, Seth. I don't know if you're able to see the text page today, but a lot of people.
Thanks, homies.
Yeah. That's someone pointed out that you're over one so far. You called Jordan Akins Jeremy Akins once
already. Why didn't you correct me?
Because you were rolling. You were making a point. I didn't want to jump in. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn it. What is my block?
I'm correcting you now.
Jordan, I apologize. My goodness.
I think there's only one solution. Jordan Akins has to change his name. That's it. He's going to change it. Change his name to Jeremy. That's it for Seth Payne. All right.
Change it to something more exotic like Jamiroquai.
Yes.
Jamiroquai Akins. Something befitting of his performance on Sunday because he was spectacular.
Or Juwan, but the way that dude on the Patriots spells it with the W and the H in there and whatnot.
Juwan Bentley, who doesn't deserve that glorious name.
Oh, he does not.
No. Juwan Opal or some other crap car. Not
a Bentley. Yeah. You know who deserves that name? Jordan Akins. Juwan Akins. This Thanksgiving, we are asking you to help as we team up with the Houston Texans Foundation. Texans Care for Texans, presented by Kroger as well and the Houston Food Bank. Half a million Houston families we're trying to feed, and it's really, really easy to do, and it's very inexpensive to do. I know money's tight for a lot of people. $1 provides 3 meals. You have a family of 6 out there, $2, you can feed them for Thanksgiving. It's awesome. We ask you to go to sportsradio610.com/texanscare. sportsradio610.com/texanscare. Donate what you can. Every dollar makes a difference, and we thank you for making a difference in our community. Seth Payne may have had hernia surgery yesterday. That ain't going to stop him from doing a keys to a victory for a game tomorrow, by God. Got to do one thing offensively that Seth is suggesting here, and a whole lot more. We will get into that keys to a Texans victory tomorrow from Seth Payne next.
I think you gotta take that tape, like you said, with a grain of salt. They were missing some very key pieces. You talk about Swift, Galladay, two dynamic players. Amendola, I don't think, played in that game. So, again, we know what they're capable of. They've put up multiple 30-point games this season, and we're expecting their absolute best, particularly in that venue on Turkey Day, situation where you know they're trying to thrive in and play well in front of their home crowd.
That's Anthony Weaver talking about the Detroit Lions, who in their most recent game did not look good. They were shut out by the Carolina Panthers.
And first time Matt Stafford's ever been shut out in his
11
seasons. Yeah.
I'm shocked.
First time he hasn't scored a touchdown. Yeah, as bad as the Lions have been, Stafford's been a productive quarterback. They can always move the ball. Yeah, that was the first time he's been shut out in 11 years.
Wow, wow. Okay, well then, you know, there's part of me that doesn't like that. Although any trepidation I feel about the Texans' opponent having a bad week the week before, you know, normally you'd like your opponent to come in kind of feeling themselves a little bit as opposed to being backed into a corner. It's all canceled out by Matt Patricia. I just look at Matt Patricia, I go, the Texans are not losing this game. Guy's a clown. He's a slob and a clown, and they are beating him and his team tomorrow. That's all I'm going to say right now. Seth, before we get to your keys to a victory, which should just be you repeating the name Matt Patricia on a loop for the next 12 minutes.
Matt Patricia.
Seth, if you're on Twitter, Seth tweeted out a picture of his setup. For those who are wondering, Seth had hernia surgery yesterday. It was successful. And he's back in today.
Double hernia surgery. Sean.
Double. Sorry, I don't want to sell your hernia.
I don't do nothing halfway.
Yeah.
I'm like one of those. I'm like that Amish character in Kingpin. I do everything at least time and a half more than everybody.
There you go. So Seth is doing the show from his bed today, and he just sent out a picture of his setup. It is a pretty sweet setup you got here, dude.
Yeah.
Your laptop propped up on your belly. You got ice packs down the front of your pants.
You see the product placement where I had my Carhartt hat laying next to me?
I did.
Nobody's got a Carhartt deal. Carhartt's been stepping up their game. Yeah. You know, you go through these cycles where Carhartt enters like pop fashion, where non actual working people are wearing Carhartt stuff now. They got to capitalize on that and get some athletes or at least former athletes.
I just retweeted it and I told the Marconi people to where they can send the award. I gave them the address for Intercom in Houston.
For me, for working on for my
for
bed.
You and me, this is going to be an amazing show today with you in bed having had hernia surgery and me in studio, and we've both got 1 foot out the door for Turkey tomorrow. Although we're both working the Texans game tomorrow, but still, it feels kind of like a Friday a little bit, you know.
Yeah, people are telling me, hey, Seth, come on, you got to take some time off. I feel really weird and guilty taking time off during football season. So I felt like with our technology, if technology wasn't what it is, I would definitely be staying home. Like, I wouldn't want to go into the studio today. But given that we have these incredible tools we can use, and it sounds pretty much almost like I'm in studio anyway, I'm working. And this is what else would I be doing? I'd be sitting around feeling sorry for myself.
Right.
Now I get to talk about this barn burner of a showdown that the entire world is looking forward to, the Detroit Lions versus your Houston Texans.
Let's do it. This is the game everybody's talking about around the country. It's the Lions and the Texans tomorrow. This is
your team, my team, America's team.
That gimmick is taken.
It was taken already before it was taken again.
Yeah, right. It's been passed around now.
So America's team was like, yeah.
Like a cheap hooah. All right, Seth, let's do this. The keys to a Texans victory over the Detroit Lions. As I indicated, this segment could just be very easily done by putting up a picture of Matt Patricia and just repeating his name in however many different languages you want to over and over and over again. However, there are some nuances to this game that I'm sure will affect winning and losing. The floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, this is where I'm going to say, I'll say this. Instead of the traditional establish the run, I'll say establish a general willingness to run at least. Because
is that where we are now?
Well, that's where you are. When you see the success the Texans had last week, largely abandoning the run, It's hard to come out here and do the same thing every football coach in America loves to do and say establish the run. Just let them know that you're crazy enough to hand the ball off to what is the equivalent of handing somebody an anvil in a cartoon, and keep the Lions healthy, like give them a healthy respect for it. You know, in a cartoon when you like somebody hands somebody something they think it's going to be light, but it's actually got an anvil in it and they drop down through the earth. That's what you're doing when you hand the ball off to Johnson, Duke Johnson. So I do think they've got to do it just enough. And now this is the thing. There are two teams in the NFL right now that are horrendous at stopping the run. One of them, as we know, is the Houston Texans. The other is the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are 30th at stopping the run. They are dead last in fantasy of points allowed to the running back position. So Duke Johnson Jr., who was traded for a third rounder because he was going to come in and be a magnetic, dynamic, all-purpose threat. He needs to get his touches. I think he'll have opportunities versus this just putrid, horrendous despicable Lions run defense, which is still better than the Texans run defense. Last week, 23% of the Texans' yards of total offense came from the running game. They do need to, if not establish a run, get the running backs involved in both the running and passing game versus the Detroit Lions.
23%, and that includes 36 yards from Deshaun's scrambles, which,
oh, yeah,
in some ways, that's an even bigger indictment of the offensive line, right? Like, in some ways, those rushing yards by Deshaun scrambling means that the offensive line failed in some way. You know, the pocket broke down. Not all of it. You know, some of it could be good coverage down the field. The line protected well. I mean, the line actually did protect him well. Now, the Patriots rushed three for a lot of that game. So you take what's on your plate and you eat it. But, yeah, the Lions, a worse. Seth, Tim Kelly did a media session yesterday where he was asked about establishing the run. I know that the Texan fans out there love to hear the coaching staff talk about how much they like to establish the run. Tim Kelly was asked a question that I'm guessing he saw as blasphemous about just starting to air it out and not worry about establishing the run too much. Here's what he had to say.
Abandon the run? Absolutely not. No. I think that's a death wish if you do that. You know, when you're going against players that, you know, think about trying to block a guy like J.J. Watt, you know, 70 times a game, and he knows you're throwing the football 70 times a game, you've got no shot. I don't care who you are. Those players are too dynamic. They're too good for them to not have to worry about playing multiple things. So to abandon the run, absolutely not. We're going to continue to try and do what's best for the team in terms of taking advantage of our skill sets. And if that means certain games where we have to throw the ball more, then we'll throw the ball more. But, you know, we are going to continue to try to attack defenses on different levels and in different areas. And again, we're going to keep working at it and trying to figure out different ways to be more successful at it. It's no secret that obviously we'd like to have a, you know, better results in terms of, you know, our rushing statistics. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is that we win. And, you know, last week we were able to go out there and get a win, and hopefully we can keep that momentum moving forward.
That is officially the longest Tim Kelly has ever spoken consecutively in the history of his life. Wow.
He's gotten super
passionately about that.
I'd say this, Sean, that I think he's doing exactly what I said, which was you can never abandon your willingness to run,
right,
or at least you never want the opponent to think that you've abandoned the run. So what Tim Kelly would really like to say but would never, ever say, obviously, is, look, we're going to abandon the run, but we're going to do it in spells. So you need to run enough that when it does come time to abandon the run that the opponent isn't necessarily expecting it.
Yeah.
And I think that the quarterback run continues to be something that they've made progress in fits and starts over the last couple weeks. I think Deshaun made a bad read on one zone read where he would have run otherwise. So I think they'll do that again. I think Deshaun's going to have at least a few called runs a game moving forward. It makes sense.
All right, so take advantage of a putrid run defense on the Detroit side and at least make it appear as though you might run the football as opposed to abandoning it all together. I'm with you. I think Tim Kelly was kind of saying what you were saying there, Seth. He agrees with that first key to the game.
One other point I'd make, too, is that Roderick Johnson did some really good things in the run game. And I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear that because when you watch on the TV copy, you saw a whole lot of runs to the left side go for a loss or no gain. What you need to realize is that a lot of those plays were because guys, other offensive linemen, were getting beat. Roderick Johnson was beating his guy for the most part most of the game. There were just other times where other guys were getting beat too bad. So Roderick Johnson continues to carve out a spot for himself as a backup. He's never going to be as good as Laremy Tunsil. You know, someday perhaps if he could play right tackle, or yeah, I think he's going to be a swing tackle. He might be the guy that is like a Chris Clark for this team for a long time, where he's going to be on the roster. You feel a heck of a lot better with him in there right now than Charlie Heck.
Yeah, Charlie Heck got in the game, though. He got one snap on Sunday when Titus went out. I was very happy for my building mate. He lives right. He lives in the apartment right below us.
That's right.
I shouted down to him after the game. Yo, Charlie, good snap yesterday. Earlier today. Yeah, he got in there and he stood up. He blocked the guy.
You should be. You know what? Since we're going to Detroit in honor of the TV show Tool Time, you could be like his Wilson.
Seth might.
Maybe he'd never actually see your face right. or even know what you look like. But you could be the guy that talks to him over the fence and gives him advice on things.
I could. Yeah, it's.
Charlie Heck comes home. He's like, Sean, I don't know what to do because, you know, Roderick Johnson actually played pretty well, and I thought I was the special one.
Right. I've been inactive all year. I didn't know how to put my pads on. I was happy for him in that one snap. I'm like, God, please just don't get Deshaun killed. Just whoever is in front of you, just block what's in front of you. Block what you see.
This is the other one.
Yeah.
Next key to victory. Stay COVID-free for 24 more hours. And you might say, Seth, of course, isn't that a key to everyday living these days?
Right.
It's more so because, again, if anybody thinks that the Texans are going into this game and like they're in danger of overlooking the Lions or something, please, they all know where they are. This is not like playing down to your opponent or anything. The Lions have won more games than the Texans so far this year. But I think the Lions are more weakened and are hurt more substantially by their current injuries than the Texans are by theirs. So when you heard Anthony Weaver mention Kenny Golladay is very up and down at this moment. Like, he practiced one day last week early on and then didn't end up playing in the game. It's a short week. There's a good chance that wide receiver Kenny Golladay doesn't play. Amendola is probably going to be back, but again, it's a short week, so it's a few days earlier than they probably would have liked for Danny Amendola. DeAndre Swift is coming back out of the concussion protocol, potentially.
Yeah.
And Adrian Peterson is being used more than he probably should. The Texans have the advantage, even though they're traveling. I think the Texans have the advantage in playing on a short week. So take advantage of that. Matthew Stafford's got this ligament issue in his thumb. There's a whole lot about the Lions right now that are making them even worse than they otherwise would be. Seize on that. And Sean, frankly, seize on whatever emotional momentum there was from Sunday's game, where the Texans just flat out played with more conviction, more aggression. I think just more willingness to do whatever it took to beat your opponent across the ball from you. I think the Texans right now are in a good spot mentally where they don't care what their record is, where the Lions might be thinking a little bit more about going home and having Thanksgiving dinner with their families after this game.
You know, it's funny you bring up Matt Stafford. I was just doing some research on this game yesterday as I was trying to find my five reasons to hate the Detroit Lions. And we'll do that later in the show. But one of the things that I saw was that Matt Stafford is in his 12th season with the Lions. He was drafted in 2009, first overall pick in 2009. So he's been with them for 11 full seasons. In those 11 full seasons, they've had 9 different leading rushers. And those 9 leading rushers have averaged around, I don't have the number in front of me, I gotta go find it. They've averaged, Seth, like 500 yards for the full season. Like, their leading rusher is basically a different person every single year. And they've averaged 631 yards. Their leading rusher for the last 11 years has averaged 631 yards. I say all that to say this, that if there is a former Lion doing radio on Detroit radio this morning, doing a keys to a victory over the Texans, they're probably saying a lot of the same things about the Texans that we're saying about the Lions. Hey, you know what? This team the Lions are playing this with, they're 3-7. They fired their coach, and guess what? They stink at running the football, and they stink at stopping the run.
Yeah,
these two teams are like the Spider-Man, the two Spider-Man staring at each other and pointing at each other.
Yeah. When it comes it really to the run is. Game. And I think the big difference last week in stopping the run was that the defensive backs came up and run support much more violently, much more assertively, and with a better understanding of what their responsibilities are. I think Justin Reed especially really just played with better leverage. Reed has grown every year that he's played, and I think this year some of the things he's doing in the box are starting to show up. He's learned about playing closer to the line of scrimmage, and it's good to see. So I think the Texans will show improvement over the second half of the season, starting last week with their run defense. That doesn't mean all of a sudden they're going to be the 85 Bears or anything, but I feel pretty good about it. And speaking of defense and safety, A.J. Moore, in this key to victory, needs to win the battle of the FaceTime conversations with his twin brother, C.J. Moore, because C.J. Moore plays safety for the Lions. Yeah. A.J. Moore plays safety for the Texans. And there was an article written by, I believe, Aaron Wilson in the Chronicle yesterday about just how competitive these guys were growing up. They competed in everything, you know, video games, who could eat more at dinner, all these kinds of things. They were going to compete. I feel like in the psychological battle of trying to glean information from the brother, AJ needs to be on top in this one.
Yeah.
AJ needs to, you know, subtly be like, oh, so yeah, I heard Stafford's not looking so great, right? And maybe he duped CJ and he'd be like, yeah, he's in rough shape. Something like that. Just get a little intel for the it's okay. It's your brothers, I know, and you love each other away from football, but you're cutthroat when you're on the football field.
I like that.
AJ Moore.
I like that. Yeah.
One little thing, too, about the little town that those guys come from. I can't remember the name of the town. It's like there are like 200 people in this town in Alabama.
Mississippi, right? Oh, it's Alabama. Okay.
Mississippi. No, I think it's Mississippi. Yeah, because they went to Mississippi.
Right.
Maybe. Where it's somewhere in the deep south. Cornell Armstrong's from the same town. It's this tiny little town that's got three current players in the NFL, two of whom are on the Texans. It's crazy.
Bassfield, Mississippi, wherever that is.
Bassfield, Mississippi, yeah.
It feels weird. I wonder what that's a suburb of in Mississippi. It's a suburb of Starkville. I have no idea.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know, man. I don't know like what size football school they were or anything.
Right. I got to see what the population is of Bassfield. I'm clicking on it right now on the Wikipedias. Population, total, oh my God, 254.
Yeah, 254.
And it has, NFL players.
That's right. Sometimes I get angry at my high school that we haven't had more NFL players. I think I'm the only one. We graduate like 200. It's not tiny by any stretch of the
imagination. You did your part.
Yeah. Where some of these other schools, these like relatively medium-sized schools, they're spitting out a kid every decade. Come on, Victor, get it together.
Yeah. Get it going. All right. Download the radio.com app. You can listen to radio.com rewind. We've got some people texting in on the rewind. They're like, oh, here's what Ross said about Seth. Oh, wait, I'm on the rewind. Ross Tucker took a shot at Seth yesterday.
Yeah, and every time I say Jeremy Akins now, I realize because people are listening on the rewind, I get corrected for a straight half hour.
Yeah.
If somebody hears it, like, hey, by the way, Seth, a half hour ago, you said Jeremy when you meant Jordan.
It's the only way you're going to get better, Seth.
I know. I need to be shamed. Keep it up.
Text message, Seth, why are you working today? Take a month off. Sign LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard. We need to load manage Seth. Seth needs to take a segment off each hour. We need to load manage him like Kawhi Leonard. Yeah. Where do I find Seth on Twitter? At Seth C. Payne is where you find him on Twitter. You can see his setup. He's got a kick-ass setup where he's propped up in his mattress, and he's got his laptop on his chest. He's got ice packs down the front of his pants.
Yeah. This is really a miracle of modern technology, Sean, that we're doing the show this way. And my wife's listening on the radio.com app, and she said she doesn't sound too much different other than that my raspy voice is raspier than usual.
Yeah, you sound good, though. You got good energy.
She's probably turning her on.
Yeah, probably.
She sounds like a cowboy or something.
She's over there recording it.
A cowboy.
Yeah.
A cowboy who's speaking into a microphone from his Tempur-Pedic bed.
Lamest cowboy ever.
Drinking from a kitty cat mug.
Right. John Wayne is turning over in his grave right now. This is what cowboys have become in 2020. Soft. All right. We head into the 7 o'clock hour. John McClain's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. John McClain is going to be here to raise your spirits, Seth. He will be here with us in the... Actually, your spirits don't need to be raised. You sound good. You sound happy. You got to be happy. They put your hernia back together again.
Oh, my intestines are all where they're supposed to be. And my I'll tell you what, my manhood is swollen to the size of those bulls on Kirby.
Oh, boy.
They should put a bronze statue of me up bucking around.
Things are getting
my danglers. The swelling ain't bad, Doc. Boy,
between that.
Is there anything you could do to enhance the swelling, Doc?
Between that and the raspy voice, Brandy's going to be sending you in for hernia surgery on a monthly basis. All right.
They give you this huge jock strap that looks like it's to support you afterwards. They tell you, look, this is a one size fits nobody. And it looks gigantic. I'm going to be stuffing my jock to fill this jock strap. And lo and behold, I put it on 4 hours after surgery. And I'm filling it out quite nicely. I look like Joe Boo in Major League.
You answered the question I was wondering, because you put a picture of yourself up with it on your face yesterday saying they gave me this cool mask, and I'm like, why is he holding a jock strap?
My wife, how about this? So they gave me this big jock strap, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to make a mask joke. To which I got at least three bot replies, by the way. I was making a joke. I tweeted out a picture with a jock strap over my face, and I got people criticizing mask wearing during COVID. That's how messed up everybody is right
now.
The
internet is the worst.
I took that picture, and then like 3 hours later, Brandy's like, hey, Seth, you know that thing you had on your face? Remember, you are supposed to be wearing that right now.
Yeah.
It's like you spent 10 minutes framing your shot, but then couldn't remember that you're supposed to wear that. And I filled it out quite nicely.
That's why he's an entertainer. He's looking for the humor in things, not the actual usage.
Look at that picture, and then imagine now that I actually fill that thing out well.
That's impressive. What would a scenario with an NFL GM from outside of the football world look like? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.